today. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And I'm going to entitle this message, Yes, I Can Be a Winner. Romans chapter 8. Picking up at verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The sign of a dying church is five words. We've never done it like this. So we're going to change it today. Would you place your hands on your heart? Can I pray for you? Heavenly Father, I ask that you would come. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and lay your hand on these hands and bless these hearts. Lord, protect these hearts so nothing would come in except your pure word. Lord, anoint my lips, anoint my heart, so that I would be able to give forth this message that you have given unto me, that you would bless this people with your word. Lord, minister to them and love them. Shower your love upon them this day. Lord, show them that they can be winners in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask that you'd bless our pastor, Pastor Rick. Lord, we know what it's like to not feel well. And Lord, here, our pastor is not feeling well, so we just ask that you'd touch him and heal him. Lord, that you'd restore him very quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Now, I'm going to quote, first of all, from Dealing with Discouragement by Bruce Thieleman. And he says, there was a story in the paper in Chicago this last weekend about a man who was being pursued by his wife. To escape her, he jumped over a 5-foot wall. He never knew he could do that before. He said, that's what you call the stimulation of unrecognized resources. As he looked back on that discouraging moment, he suddenly learned something he hadn't known before. He could leap 5-foot walls. Now, according to the principles of aerodynamics, bumblebees cannot fly. The shape and the weight of their body in relation to their total wing area makes it impossible for a bumblebee to fly. I'm glad that bumblebees don't know anything about aerodynamics or aeronautics. They just go ahead and fly anyway. But this may be a picture of you today, of you and I. Maybe you feel that life has crippled you, or that's what you've been told. Maybe you've been told you're a loser. Maybe you've been told you can't do this or that. I grew up in an orphanage. I came from a very dysfunctional family. That was before the word dysfunctional was used. And I didn't know what dysfunctional was. I just grew up in an orphanage, and I lived with what I had, and God has taken me and shaped me and molded me and made me into a preacher, despite what I went through in an orphanage. Now, all of us, I think, can understand somewhat of not being liked by all people all the time. Some of us can may be able to understand that. What you've been told isn't what really needs to be. You can fly like the bumblebee. You can ignore what they say. You can't fly. You cannot fly. And it gets up and it flies anyway. Just go ahead and fly. The Olympics prove that the world loves winners. If you take a look at Olympics past, Shawn Johnson, Misty May, Kerry Walsh, Michael Phillips, just to name a few, of the world loves winners. Vince Lombardi, the great coach of the Green Bay Packers for so many years, used to say, if winning isn't important, why do they keep score? Vince also said that in his very first game that he played, he said that his opponent was a huge man. He said that he looked him in the eye and he said, I came here prepared to die. Did you? And he said, I pushed that huge opponent all over the field. Now, the Bible proves that God loves winners. God loves winners. Think of Moses. Think of David. Think of Samson. How about Jeremiah, Isaiah, New Testament, Peter, Paul, John? There's so many. God loves winners. Many times, all that separates a winner from a loser is the decision to be a winner. Only you can decide to win. You can win. You can win today when others lose. You can soar today when others sink. You've been called a winner. God calls you a winner. Now, I want to challenge you today to become a winner. I'm going to challenge you today in a world of quitters, in a world of losers, I'm going to challenge you to win. Stacy Allison, the very first American woman to ever reach Mount Everest summit, said, you've got to decide sometimes in your life when it's okay not to listen to what other people are saying. If I had listened to other people, I wouldn't have climbed Mount Everest. Very first woman to ever climb Mount Everest. Now, your natural birth, your circumstances, and what others have told you doesn't determine whether or not you'll be a winner. No matter what circumstances you were born into, no matter what happened in your life in the past, no matter what it is, will not determine whether or not you'll be a winner. Winning is a matter of your decision. Winning is a matter of believing what God has in store for you. Right now, you can decide to become one of God's winners in this life. In your circumstances, right now where you live today, you can be a champion. You can gain superiority over all the enemies that would hold you down. You can be a conqueror. Romans 8 tells us you can be more than a conqueror, overcoming all forces that come up against you with an overwhelming victory. You can be a winner. Today, you can be a winner. Life will continually bring circumstances your way that try to hold you down. Lies of the enemy will come into your mind, telling you that you can never be a winner. You can never be a champion. But the Bible tells us it is the final authority. God's word is the final authority in my life and in your life. The Bible is the answer to every lie and every accusation of the devil. The Bible teaches that you have everything you need to rise above your circumstances. You can overcome anything that comes to hinder you. You can overcome it. Romans 8:37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. King James, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What's happening today, I see, is that many people live day to day full of worry. They're full of worry. They have fear and doubt that are like a mountain that overwhelms them. They have surrendered to the lies of obstacles and circumstances. They have given up the idea that they can overcome the challenges they face and be winners. Years ago, I used to tell Bev, if I didn't have something to worry about, I would die. That was a lie. And I believed it for a long time. So I would go around looking for something to worry about. But then the Lord came into my life and things got turned upside down. Listen to me, church. Challenges are not put before you and I. Challenges are not put before us to discourage us. Challenges remind us of our weaknesses and our need for total dependence upon God. Challenges give us an opportunity to be stretched beyond our normal capacity. God wants to stretch you. To be a winner, you first have to change the way you think. Let me tell you a deep spiritual truth. A millionaire is still a millionaire even though he has no money. It's all in his mind. Donald Trump lost everything he had. He's a millionaire again today. If you think like a loser, you'll act like a loser. If you want to live like a winner, you have to transform your mind into the mind of a winner. Here's a couple of illustrations I want to give you. Listen to what Thomas Edison said. Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and it looks like work. Alexander Graham Bell said, when one door closes, another opens, but we often look so long and regretfully at the closed door that we do not see the one that has opened up for us. Now, what happens is God wants to stretch your mind and mine. He wants to give us new thoughts. He wants to give us new ideas. He wants our creativity to surface so that we might be all that He has called us to be. See, God has called us to do something to be something. God has called you to something that He wants only you to do. Only you can do it. Our full potential is lying dormant like a seed. In Sunday school class, Glenn was telling me about a little tiny seed, an acorn, that just kind of rolls on the ground and it lays there. Inside that little tiny seed is the potential to become this huge oak tree. God has placed within you, within that seed in you, the potential to become a mighty oak. God wants to stretch our minds. The Holy Spirit wants to take the seed that is planted within you and to have it so that it can break forth into new growth. Winners will always open their minds to the renewing of the Holy Spirit. But what happens a lot of times is we're preoccupied with the past. Things we couldn't control. We become preoccupied by them. Is your mind filled with things that should have been, or could have been, or might have been? Maybe you today are being plagued by the victim way of thinking. Whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera. There's nothing I can do about it. Are you pessimistic about your future, your past, and your future? What we need to do is we need to get rid of that type of thinking. Listen, church, when you go home today, how many of you are going to drive? How many of you are going to walk? Okay, so most people are going to be in cars. When you drive, I have learned something. The windshield is this big. The rearview mirror is this big. If you drive home looking only in the rearview mirror, you're going to run into a ditch. You can't do it. You have to look out the windshield. God has placed your past this big, and your future this big. And where do we look? In the past. Gee, I wish I would have. Gee, I could have. Gee, I might have. We need to get rid of that type of thinking. God has called you and I to be Joshua's, Caleb's, Daniels, Davids. Someone who, when faced with obstacles, rise up and says, yes, I can change this situation. Maybe you're thinking, if I can only maintain things the way they are right now. Are you preoccupied with what's happening only in the present and your present needs? Do you just do enough to get by? Do you find that you have no faith to reach forward, to stretch, to take risks? Listen, church, begin to take risks. It's fun. You fail once in a while, but I want you to know more times than not, you will win. If we begin to think that we're afraid to take risks, I want you to know it'll hinder your growth. It will hinder your growth. God has not made us to simply exist in a safe environment. We're called to reach out of our comfort zone, take risks. God has called us to move forward. And I think there are also people that have a someday type of mentality or thinking. I know what I'll do someday. Do we have any concrete steps for fulfilling the visions that God has given to us? Have you taken any steps toward implementing those plans? None of these things are ways of thinking for a winner. We will not be victims. We will not just maintain. We will not settle for what's safe. We will become witnesses. We will become winners. God has called us to be winners. In my very first church, I was preaching, and there was a man who was sitting about the second row there. And as I'm preaching, I'm watching him, and he is just writing on a tablet. And I'm thinking, wow, what notes is he taking? He's taking some awesome notes because he's writing more than what I'm talking. And so I just kept glancing at him and glancing at him, and I'd glance away, and somebody over here might be look back over here, and this guy's just writing away. Turn the page. So I got all done preaching, and I said, David, what did God tell you about my sermon? He says, oh, nothing. He said, he gave me a brand new bow sight, and I'm going to make millions on it. He gave you that during my sermon? See, God was telling him he could be a winner. He made a fortune on those bow sights. God decided to give it to him at that time. Why? I don't know. That might be one of the questions I'll ask God in the future, but if you find yourself going in circles, if you find yourself bored, if you feel like you're in a rut in your life, set yourself free right now by allowing the Holy Spirit to transform your thinking. Climb out of the thinking ruts. Do you know what a rut is? A rut is simply a grave with both ends pushed out. When you get in a rut, you're really in a grave. You need to get out of that rut and begin to think. Transform your thinking. When we start thinking in ruts, we lose our productivity. We get into the rut of what the worldly spirit of the day is saying. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. This passage can also be rendered, be transformed by your new attitude of mind, or continue to transform yourselves by the new ideas that mold your mind. You don't have to wait for success. It's waiting for you in God's Word. God desires every person to be a success. God desires every person here today to be a winner. God wants you to be a winner. He wants to show the world that His kids are winners. Lee Iacocca said to his engineers, "Don't bring me your problems, bring me answers to your problems." See, we're so used to having problems that we can't see the answers to them. Tonight I'm going to pick up on this and show you four ways to think differently so that you can be a winner. But I want to know you to know that you can train yourself to think better. You can escape ruts by trying out new possibilities. For example, every one of you sit down today and write out 10 ways to do something impossible. 10 ways to do something impossible. "Oh, Pastor, I can't think of one." Yes, you can. 10 ways to do something impossible. I'm going to give you a story in just a minute, a true story, in which a man did that. He sat down and he wrote out a whole bunch of things that were impossible. And every one of you know his name. But what happens is if we write down 10 ways of doing the impossible, this will give us a new perspective on whatever obstacle is confronting us. Stand back and take a look at things from a distance. List some ways you can work through a problem. Think of what would happen if you would change "I can't" to "I can and will." If you removed your "I can't" attitude, and if you replaced it with "Yes, I can," things would be different. Here's a man sitting on his front porch in Kentucky. He recently retired from the post office. He's sitting there when the postman brings him his very first Social Security check. He's very, very discouraged. He thinks to himself, is this what life is going to be from now on? Sitting on the front porch waiting for my check to arrive? How many of us would be doing that? It says he decided he wouldn't settle for that, so he made a list of all the things that he had going for him and all the blessings and the capacities, the unique things that were in him. The list was long because he listed everything he could think of. And in the list was the fact that he was the only person on earth who knew his mother's recipe for fried chicken. It used 11 different types of herbs and spices. So he went to a nearby restaurant and asked if he could cook the chicken, and they said yes. It soon became the most popular thing on the menu. So he opened his own restaurant and then others and a string of restaurants. Eventually, Harlan Sanders sold a Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise across all of America. He retired a second time as a millionaire. All this happened after he retired from the Postal Service. He continued on after he sold the company. He continued on in the service of the company as a public relations representative. His public relation ended up being his face on a bucket of chicken. He got paid $250,000 a year just to have his face on the side of a bucket of chicken. Harlan Sanders, founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken. There was a man who didn't allow himself to be defeated by discouragement. He took a look at it and recognized it was there, but then went on to look at what he had with which to deal with, and he used that. Now, every one of you have something that you can use that everybody else is looking for. I've said to Bev so many times, you know, have you ever thought, how many of you like when you eat, your Thanksgiving meal to have all the juices run together? Huh? I don't like it. I don't like my gravy and my cranberries. And I often thought, what would happen if they would make a plate that kind of leaned so that you could move it whichever way it went? You know, now I use knives and forks. But just something that simple. How many people would end up buying something like that? I'd buy it and regift it. But what we need is we need a new transformation for our minds. We need some new ideas, new thinking patterns that'll bring us into a winner's way of living. See, God didn't call you and I to be losers. He called us to be a conqueror, and then he said, I want you to be more than a conqueror. God wants us to be winners. God wants you to be a winner. And he has given you something deep down that you don't even know is there yet. I'm too old. No. No, I'm not too old yet. I can't think of anything. It's there. God wants you to do something with your life. God has something special for you. But I guess the choice is ours, isn't it? We can give up. We can be a quitter. How many people are quitting in America now? You know, there's people quitting all kinds of things. Other people are looking for opportunities. There are opportunities. I know of a man who has more jobs than he can find people to fill them. The only problem is they start over $500,000 a year. He can't find people to fill the jobs. Can you imagine that? $500,000 a year and he can't find people? It's because we say, oh, I can't do that. I don't have that training. It's impossible. But it isn't impossible. God can use you. He has a special place for you. Now, I'm going to ask you today to do something. I'm going to ask the music team to come back. Do you know that I retired 4 times? First time I retired from the Bell system. Came into the ministry. At the age of 62, I retired again. I thought that's what you were supposed to do. It was easy to get Social Security then. And I retired then, and then another church called me and said, we want you to fill in. Our pastor just left. Would you fill in? And I said, sure. So the very first week that I was there, they came back and they said, Pastor, we want you to be our pastor. We want you to pastor us. And there was a church that had a problem, and I said, I'll fill in until you get a pastor. And so the first week we went up there, it was July 4th weekend, and I finished preaching, and the people came up and they said, we want you to be our pastor. And I said, I'm retired. I can't. And they said, but we want you. And I said, what part of retired don't you understand? So then they pulled a trump card and they said, if we prayed and God told you to take this church, would you do it? Yeah, I would. So they prayed. I prayed a little bit that they wouldn't. No, I prayed and asked God what he wanted me to do. And after 6 months, I listened to him and I said, okay. And so I took the church. Do you know when I left that church, not one person, we never lost a person in the changeover because God was in it. And I retired again. And I came here. My kids said, "Dad, it's about time you come home." So I said, "Okay." So we moved to pack up our house, and we moved to Beverly. No, we moved to Knapp. And in Knapp, we were retired. And then my son-in-law said, "Dad, I want you to be the senior's pastor." So I said, I was going to say, "I'm retired." But he knew that one already. So I had to say, "Okay, son, however I can help you, I'll help you." And so my son-in-law is now my pastor. And I'm not retired anymore. As a matter of fact, my calendar is more busy now than when I was working. But God has something for everyone. God has something for each one of you. He wants you to do something. All you have to do is find out what it is. And He will show you. Tonight I'll give you four ways to find out what God's will is for your life so that you can be a winner. God wants you to be a winner. Now, if you're sitting here today thinking, "I can't. I'm too old. I don't know what to do. What would God have me do? I don't know if God would use me." If that has ever been in your thoughts, or if it's in your thoughts right now, I'm going to ask you to come and we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray and have God show you that He wants you to be a winner. Every one of you here, He wants you to be a winner. From the smallest child to the oldest person, God wants us to be a winner. To be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. God wants you to be a conqueror. So if you're here today and you know you need a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of heart, I'm going to ask you to just get up from where you're at and come, and we're going to pray. We're going to have a prayer service. We're going to ask God to show you, to touch you, to let you be a winner. Are you here today? Is there anyone? Just come. Come. I've been in places where I thought something was impossible, but I found out that God, that's one word He doesn't know. God doesn't know the word impossible, because it says with God all things are possible. I can say something is impossible, but God says, "No, with me it's possible. I'll show you how." If you'd like to pray for those that are up here, please come.